nobody on here. Maybe Sean Murphy. Maybe Sean Murphy. But nobody on here has actually prospected every contact they have. Nobody has. Here's how I know. You know how I know? Pull up your phone, right? Whether it's a jitterbug, iPhone, Android, whatever. Anyone got a jitterbug? Oh, man, I want to see one of those. But so if I pull up my phone and I click the little contacts and I just, you know, make it rain here. Oh, no, now it's clicking things. It's probably going to call people. But if I make it rain and I scroll all the way to the bottom, I have 6,812 contacts. Now, that may be more than you have, admitted, that may be more than you have, but I'm willing to bet that if you scroll down to the bottom of your contacts, you got 500, you got 1,200, you got 2,000. How many you got? Drop us a number. Let's see. Let's see some numbers here. I want to see. But regardless of the number, I'm willing to bet, you haven't reached out to even half of those. And so I'll tell you a quick story. So when Jess and I got married, which we just celebrated our 7-year anniversary, yay, which was November 5th, so almost a week and a half ago, whatever. And so when we got married, we were the number one income earners of our network marketing company. And okay, I'm seeing some numbers, 3,100, 600, okay, 1,200. Just ask yourself, be honest, have you reached out to half of them? And some of you would say things like, well, one of them's my dry cleaner. I prospected my dry cleaner. One of you would say, well, that's my buddy, the restaurant owner. I recruited my buddies, the restaurant owners. So just ask yourself, have you prospected half of them? And I'm willing to bet most of you have not. Let's be honest. So anyway, so 7 years ago, got married. And we were, at the time, we were the number one income earners of that network marketing company. And we invited the owners of the company there. So my buddies, Chris, Jake, Ian, they were there. And Chris came up to me. He goes, you know, it's really funny, dude. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, the week before, now this is an owner of the company. And Chris had, I believe his brother. His wedding was like the week before. And so the brother of the owner, who also had a position in that network marketing company, he went to his wedding. He couldn't find anyone at the wedding that knew he was a member of that company. Couldn't find anyone. He'd say, yeah, you know, they'd be like, oh, you're the brother. Yeah, I'm brother. You know, we work together. Oh, you work together? Like, in what? Oh, you know, we're in this company called blah, blah, blah. And they'd be like, oh, that's cool. What do you guys do? Not one person at that wedding told the brother of the groom, oh, yeah, he's talked to me about that. He came to our wedding. There was no one that didn't know. He couldn't find anybody that didn't know. Now, I'm just talking about your phone, right? Phone. Okay. Let's talk about some more. What about your email? Okay. So go to your, you know, Gmail, your Yahoo, your AOL, your, you know, whatever, what else is out there? I don't know. MSN, I guess, Hotmail, go to those, sort by contacts, sort by from, and just take a gander. How many is that? Now you may not be able to find a number there, but I want you to ask yourself, have I done this? Have I sorted my email by who it's from and actually reached out to these people? I did. I'm telling you, I went to my Gmail, I hit from, sorted it. So I got, you know, Abe Lincoln, I got Bobby Brown, I got, you know, Cassius Clay. Right? How many of those people have you reached out to? Okay. Have you done half? I mean, I'm willing to put some money you haven't done half. I'm willing to drop some money on that one. Some of y'all with tiny itty bitty phones, right? Your phone's like this big, you're like, eh, right? You got 22 contacts in there. Maybe you've prospected half. Maybe you've sent out 11 messages. Maybe. Okay. None of y'all. None. Come at me, bro. Come at me. None of you have gone through half of your froms in your email. Not half, not none of you. Zero. Come at me. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. All right. So
the Facebooks.
How many of y'all have clicked the friends thing and just gone down the row? How many of y'all? If any of you on anyone on here, now maybe John P., where's Pennington, right? Pennington, psycho prospector, right? I looked outside one day. He was prospecting my mailbox. I'm like, John, bro, my mailbox, it doesn't have a credit card. He's like, hey, would you be at all open? And I'm like, bro, they don't have a credit card, man. You can't, no social. You can't recruit my mailbox, bro. That's John P., man. He goes nuts. He goes hard in the paint, right? So have you prospected half of your Facebook? I'm just talking existing here. I'm just talking existing world, okay? How many? None. Zero. Zilch. None of you. Come at me. John P., maybe. Maybe John P. has done half his Facebook, right? He scares me. He's a little intimidating right there. He gets intense, right? So six-pack abs goes all day. Email, none of you have done half. Facebook, one of you have. John P., that's it. It's the only person on here, okay? None of you have sorted by friends. Because you've just been staring out the window saying, I sure wish someone would pull up in my drive-through, in my driveway with a credit card and buy my stuff. None of you have done that. You're like, how do I find new people? Well, how do you talk to your existing people? Come on. Patrick, you have? How many friends you got? 44, 33, how many you got? All right. So I'm just throwing it out there. And hey, am I being a little dramatic here? Some of you, maybe you have gone through half your Facebook. Most have not. Most of the people looking for leads, they're just out there. They're out front their door just looking for leads. They're opening up the window. They're refreshing their screen to see if anyone reached out to them. Most of them have not done any of this. So why do you even need to find leads? Why do you even need more? Just throwing it out there, right? How many have done this? Very, very, very few. Very few. There may be three on here. John P., maybe Michelle Eldridge, maybe one other, maybe. And so this is step one, your existing contacts that is very possible that for the rest of your life, you never run out of. Just your existing people. How long have you been on this planet and been attached to anything electronic or phone? How long have you had your cell phone? How long have you had an email address? How long have you been on Facebook? This may be your next, 5 to 67 years, right? If we just stop there, if we just say existing. Now, some of you went through let's talk about new contacts. So there's two ways of building your business, marketing and prospecting. Marketing, you're doing something you hope an unnamed individual reacts or responds to. Prospecting, you're reaching out to an individual, whether it's online, offline, cold market, warm market. Okay, so new contacts. So what are you doing for marketing on a consistent basis? We just unleashed upon the world a group of 3,500 Facebook Live gangsters from our 14-day challenge. We just unleashed, this is like, you ever see the King of Queens episode where Kevin James is playing football with a bunch of little kids? That's what we just did to the marketplace. We just unleashed 3,500 Kevin James upon the little kiddie world of Facebook Lives. So right now, my 14-day challengers are just stiff-arming people. they're just like stepping over other marketers. They're just trucking them, right? We got Alta out there wearing her Santa hat, and she's just bucking people. She's just like, bah! She's putting people on their backs. She's just laying people out because they are now gangsters at marketing. And so what are you doing for marketing? Do you know how to do transitions? Do you know how to do call to actions? Do you know how to raise curiosity? Do you know how to go from one thing to a totally different thing? Have a CTA delay, have a conversation, get them interested in your product, service, or opportunity. Well, work on that. What are you doing for marketing to attract people to you? And by the way, here's something that our 14-day challengers realized. What they realized is their marketing did something magically delicious, and it actually attracted some of their existing people. Because some people think, man, my people just sitting on their lawn chairs, they're sipping lemonade, watching me do Facebook Live. They never comment. They never reach out. They never tell me anything. They're just haters. When you do marketing right, you'll have some of these people actually reach out to you. But guess what? You'll get new contacts too. You'll get new contacts if you're doing marketing the correct way. When you're educational, when you're a problem solver, when you're a value provider. So y'all, you know, you guys that missed the 14-day challenge, you may want to sit at the feet and be a Padawan to the Jedi 14-day challengers. They're Jedis, man. I'm telling you, y'all came with a butter knife. They got a lightsaber. They're going to saw you to pieces. You have no shot at even competing with them because they are now marketing gangsters. They know stuff you don't know. So you may want to sit at the feet and just, you know, like in Planet of the Apes or whatever, where you just kind of ask for permission to learn from them. You may want to grab their notes. Because I'm telling you, they're going to saw you in half. They're going to get all your existing people to follow them. So there's marketing, then there's prospecting. Okay. So when you have great service at a restaurant, are you asking the waiter or waitress? Not the only way. I'm not saying it has to be offline. That is an option. Are you asking the waiter or waitress? Are you going to any networking events, grabbing business cards, following up with the next day? Are you doing any of that? Right? Are you connecting with new people on Facebook on a consistent basis? Are you doing that? And if you understand part of all of this has to do with follow-up, some of you are saying, well, how do you track these peeps? And I'm gonna hit you hard on this. I've done this before, but I think it needs to be said again. So follow-up, do you realize that if you do proper follow-up, two new contacts a day will keep you busy as hell in like 6 months. I'm going to say that again. If you do proper follow-up, two new contacts a day, at the end of 6 months, you will be busy as hell. You will be so damn busy if you do proper follow-up. But see, most people, they think, oh, I get 20 new ones a day. I got to get 50 new ones a day. If only I do that, because they suck at follow-up. Here's why people suck at follow-up, because they don't draw any importance to it. They don't draw any importance. So I'm going to give you why, and I've shared this before, I'm going to give you why follow-up is so important. And it's not just, you know, all of you have had fortunes on the follow-up, right? So anything that you're immune to that phrase. So it shouldn't be said anymore. We just need to eradicate it, because you're immune to it. It no longer has meaning. So when you hear fortune and follow-up, it's a meaningless phrase now. It just doesn't matter, right? And so you have to find the immunity phrases that people have heard so much. Everyone's heard it. Fortune and follow-up. Well, why don't they follow up? Because they're not attaching meaning to it. So I attach meaning to my follow-up. I had the follow-up until you pass away plan. That's how I roll. And when I was at, we did an event here locally back in last December, and I taught follow-up, and one of my buddies that I've known for years, he raised his hand. He goes, hey, can I share something? And I'm like, sure. He brings his phone up. He brings his phone up and says, hey guys, these are the texts that I received from Ray from 2009 to 2016. He never joined me. I hit him. Hey, bro, I know it's not a fit for you. You know anyone who wants to make some extra money? Hey, man, I'm having a get together at my house. You want to swing by, bro? I got some people you might want to meet. Hey, man, we're getting together at the pub over here. Would love to see you. I got some cool people you should meet. 7 years. I never stopped. Do you know why I stopped in 2016? It's when we retired from actively building. No reason for me to follow up again. Isn't that funny? How many of you all follow up for 7 years? Any of you? Anybody? Anyone there? I don't think so. But I attach meaning to this. I attach two things. Impact and income. Follow up equals impact, spell, and income. So you're not associating one of these. Or maybe both. So if you're like, ah, oh, bro, I'm just not good at follow-up, man. I don't know. I write stuff down and like the window opens and it just flutters out. I left a fan on one time, like in Sing, right? Where Mr. Moon, he left the flyers out in the right? Y'all with kids will get it. But man, I'm just not good at follow-up, bro. I mean, how does one even track these? How does one even track them? So hard. So hard to track ease, okay? The reason it's hard for you to track is because you don't attach importance to it. It's no importance. For me, my follow-up was going to change that family, was going to impact that single mom, that disabled veteran, that person that's down on their luck, that person that was a misfit, that person that was the last picked in line, that person that is, you know, looked over. That person that was, people called an underachiever. My follow-up wasn't out of greed. It was out of impact. I knew that if only I could keep following up until they saw the light, then I could help that person out. I could help them change their life. They could afford better schooling and better books for their kids. See, I associated it with meaning. So let me tell you exactly why this is exactly your problem. Ready for this? So let's say in your neighborhood, and rent makers, you're familiar with this example. I've shared it with you. But let's say in your neighborhood, there's a family that you really like, nice family. Unfortunately, husband passes. The wife is laid off. Four kids to feed. And you say, you know what? Man, we got to do something about this, man. I mean, this is terrible. It's terrible what's happened in that family. She got laid off. He just passed away, got four kids to feed. Man, this is tough. And so let's just say that you call around your neighbors and you say, hey, man, you heard about the Andersons. Let's do something about it, man. Is there any way you could, give a little bit of money or food or something like that? Let's help these guys out. And let's say you call your neighbors and you get 25 of those neighbors to say, yeah, I can give something, man. Just swing on by. I can help you out. Yeah, for sure, man. How many of them will you forget to follow up with? Will you follow up with half? Well, 25 told me they would give some money for the Anderson family. You know what? I'm just going to swing by 12 of them. I'm just going to follow up with that 10 of them. Hey, just 10 of them. The other 15, they can just keep their money. You would become amazing at follow-up. Wow, I can't see you real good. Who is that? Is that Mr. or Mrs. Follow-Up? How amazing they are. God, have you seen their follow-up skills? It's incredible. It's amazing. Why? Because you associated meaning to it. You associated meaning. I associate meaning to follow-up. I'm not bugging, chasing, begging, pretty pleasing, cherry on top, pretty please, can I follow up? No, I'm following up with them because of impact and income. Some of you you're dying for money, man. You're like, man, I need money, man. But you're not following up. So I'm confused. Some of you want to make a difference in the world, but you don't follow up. That doesn't compute. That makes no damn sense. Man, I really want to make an impact, but I just hate starving kids. That doesn't make sense. So if you suck at follow up, it's not the system. It's not that you just need an amazing journal. Associate some damn importance to it. There's no system. There's no software. What kind of software? Let's ask the right question. What kind of software will hit me upside the head and let me associate actual meaning to follow up? None. None of them. There's no software that's going to say, yeah, now you get to impact a family. You have to do that. And if you use, I use my iPhone calendar. Now, I'll be honest, if I had a journal that I could go back and refer to, I could go back, oh, man, last May I followed up this way. I got to follow up with them. If I had this, I would have used it. Didn't exist. We created this, right? And so, but I use my iPhone calendar. I just plugged in, call back Susie. My wife used a pad of paper. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. Just like the worst follow-up on here, if you were raising money for your neighbor that you actually cared about, you get 100%. You'd be like, oh my God, I'm 100% follow up. I'm amazing. It's not that you're amazing. It's that you associated meaning to it. So associate meaning to your follow up. So the, you know, 0.0001% of you that say, yeah, Ray, bro, I hit all my phone, I hit all my email, I hit all my Facebook, right? The 1.1111% of you that said that, well, did you follow up with them or just hit them one time? Was it a drive-by? Hey, open to my bed. Was it a drive-by? Just a drive-by? Hey, open to my bed. No, they said no, I think. I'm pretty sure they said no. And you look in their rear view. Yeah, they're shaking their head no. And you just never followed up because you didn't care. You didn't care about possibly impacting them. You cared about your self-image. You cared about looking bad. You cared about looking bad. That's what happened. So those of you not following up, two things. One, do you care more about your self-image? Or do you care more about possibly making an impact? Number two, change your meaning. Following up is not begging, chasing, bugging. And I'll tell you, there are multiple people. I can think of three people right off the top of my head that I had to follow up with at least five times before they joined. All three went on to become six-figure. I could have been Baby Bear. I could have said, they said no. No, they told me no. I just look stupid following up at this point. But no, I didn't care about my self-image. I didn't care how I looked to them. And I wasn't annoying about it. I just said, hey, I know it's not a fit for you, but do you know anyone that might want to make some extra money? Hey, I know it's not a fit for you, but do you know anyone that wants to save some money on travel? Hey, I know it's not a fit for you. Do you know anyone that might want to lose some weight? Hey, I know it's not a fit for you. Do you know anyone that wants creamier skin, glittery hair, right? More fancy schmancy eyelashes, whatever. So you got to start drawing new meaning to follow up. Then you'll do it. It's not the system you're looking for. Ray, what kind of system will help me attach meaning to things? I don't know. I'm not sure. I wish that was a microchip I could send you. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I could be impacting families. I probably should follow up. Wouldn't that be neat? If we just had a download, right? You just plug it into your neck. Wow, I'm fired up. I got vision. I got meaning. I got fulfillment. This is amazing. That'd be awesome. Imagine the money that would just roll in. If we could just, right? Or like a matrix in the back, right? Teach you kung fu, teach you meaning, give you a vision. It'd be awesome. It'd be so cool. So how do you handle the constant growth? You attach meaning to it. You do shit where you get more contacts, which is reaching out to human beings and doing marketing to attract them to you. That's a, you know, attractive, educational, maybe entertaining for some of you, okay? And you actually utilize your existing contacts, which less than 1% of you are doing. Speaking of the journals, let's give away a journal, which will not associate meaning to follow-ups, but it'll help you at least organize, right? You got to associate the meaning. You can write, you can fill this to the brim. But if you don't give a shit about making an impact with other families, you're still not going to use it. You're still not going to actually call people, right? You can write all kinds of quotes in here, whatever the mind can believe and conceive, it can achieve, right? You can write all kinds of quotes in here. But if you, at the end of the day, don't care about making an impact on families, on single moms, disabled veterans, people who never had a shot at life, if you don't care about that, then no journal or system or app. You got a little app for that, right? There's no app, there's no journal, there's no system, there's no CRM, there's no microchip I can send you. There's no, you know, soles you can smack in the bottom of your shoes that's going to associate meaning to actually impacting families. So you got to do that. Use whatever it is that you want, but you got to have some meaning there or you'll never be a follow-up, you know, guru, whatever. Is this helpful so far? Do some of your teammates need to hear this? Like, can you imagine, can you comprehend if all of your teammates started drawing meaning around follow-ups, do you have any idea how much your organization would skyrocket? It would literally go bananas in pajamas. That's a scientific term. They studied bananas while wearing pajamas, and it just went off the charts. Okay. And one of the most important is, who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? So most people, they focus on a why. You got to have a why. Got to have a why that makes you cry. Well, the problem with that is I've met so many people that have had the same why for 5 years. And they haven't progressed on it. 7 years, 9 years, 10 years, right? I know so many people that have had the same why that makes them cry for year after year after year after year. So is it really that powerful? And so I am not negating a why. I just think the why needs to be compartmentalized underneath this. Who do you want to be? Because the person that you want to be needs to be able to fulfill this why. So here's the difference. And number two, see the fulfillment of that vision of yourself. And these are in order. This is number one. This is number two. Your why is like A. It's like 1A. It could be 1B, C, et cetera. Okay? So here's the difference. So when people that just have like a why, right? They got a why that makes them cry. So people that have a why that makes them cry, the problem with it, two things. One, always external. It's external of their body. So it's, I want to retire my spouse. I want to provide clean drinking water. I want to impact the kids in Kenya. I want to get backpacks to people. I want to help provide meals to people that don't have food. I want to put shoes on people that don't have, shoes, right? And so it's always external. That's one, a problem. Number two, it's commercially digestible. And because it's commercially digestible, they get a payoff when they share it. So if I'm Struggle Bear, right? So I'm Struggle Bear and I go to the company event and someone says, what's your why? And I say, I just want to retire my spouse. They've worked so hard for so long. And I just want to retire my spouse. Okay. What will I receive by saying that? Not money, not results, not commissions, not ranks, not leads, not prospects. What will I receive though? What I'll receive is a payoff. An emotional payoff. And the emotional payoff is, oh my God, that's so admirable. Oh, good for you. It's greater than us. Good for you. Good for you, my amazing soul. You will get a payoff. You want to provide clean drinking water. You want to provide backpacks to kids. You want to help the needy, right? You share your why. That's all you got to do. Payoff. Some people, they become addicted to that payoff. Notice what payoff isn't. Payoff isn't results. And payoff in this context isn't real. Because are you actually accomplishing the why when you get a payoff? No. But you're accomplishing part of the emotional payoff as if you had. Oh, that's so, oh, such, that's so good. Oh, retire spouse. Oh, so admirable. So admirable of you. Oh, you're going to help the kids. Oh my, oh goodness. Okay. Now I may sound like I'm making fun of it. I'm really not, because I got to be a little extreme to rattle your cage, or else you're going to keep walking around the world saying, here's my why, getting a payoff and never accomplishing anything you actually want to accomplish. I know that's going to be tough for some people to hear this, because they've been getting this, man, give me that payoff, bro. Tell me that I'm worthy, man. Tell me I got good ideas, bro. Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah. Right? Some of you have, you got like your main line in payoff, right? You got your spoon, your belt, you're lighting it up, right? And so some of you, your main line in payoff, which is not reality, which is not results, which is not accomplishing the why at all, or even progressing you toward that why, it's actually not helping anything except emotional bear. Give me a little emotional payoff. Making you feel good. Ah, yeah, you know what? I am good. Yeah. Me wanting to retire my spouse, that is a good thing. Yeah, thank you. Yes, me helping the kids. I know I've had it, 9 years it's been on my vision board. Yeah, you're right. I am an amazing person. Okay? So it helps you get a payoff, helps you have some significance, but doesn't actually do anything. It does nothing. Okay? Does nothing. So instead, here's the difference. A vision is, who do you want to become? Go become someone who can accomplish this. Go become someone who can accomplish this. I want to become someone. So let me give you an example. Give you an example. So when I was dead broke, personal foreclosure, $1 million in debt, being chased by bill collectors, had gone through a divorce, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my beautiful wife, I'm very blessed, right? My girlfriend at the time was paying my utility bills. I did not feel very manly. I didn't feel like I was holding my end of the bargain, but I was willing to accept her paying my bills. But I, in my head, I had a why, okay? I had a why, but this was not nearly as pronounced as my vision. So my why was, I wanted to spoil the hell out of her. I wanted to become the kind of person who could spoil the hell out of her. I wanted, on her birthday, for us to rent yachts, to rent helicopters, to, you know, put her, get her all kinds of diamonds. I wanted her dripping in diamonds. I wanted to spoil the holy hell out of her, because she was there when I had nothing. In fact, I had negative a million nothing. Literally, it would have been smarter logically for her to date a homeless person with zero debt than me with $1 million in debt, right? And so I wanted to become the person. I didn't go around saying, oh, I just want to become someone that can spoil my girl. I just want to spoil my girl at some point in my life. No. And people would say, oh, that's how admirable you are. Wow, what a great person you are. Yeah, it's no big deal, really. I mean, you know. No, I wanted to become the person that could do this. I wanted to become the person that could accomplish my whys. So you want to become the person that can accomplish your things. And when you are focused on becoming, and you may want to write this word down, what are you becoming? Becoming, birthing into, growing into, transforming into. That is the stuff you got to focus on, not, let me come up with some good one-liners. Yeah, feed some kids. Hey, retire my husband. Okay? And you know, I've done this little test, which brings us to number two here. See the fulfillment. See the fulfillment. See the fulfillment. There's two things that indicates. Number one, stop bitching about where you are. Stop moaning and complaining on how you don't have leads. But Ray, you don't understand, I'm dead broke. I was dead broke. If you see the fulfillment of the vision of who you want to become, you will strip away that nonsense. You'll strip away that baloney that you've been focusing on, the comparitis, the overthinking, the, you know, frustration, disappointment, confusion, overwhelm, all that stuff. You will strip away, and a phoenix on fire will come out of that, breathing with wings of flames, just lighting up every obstacle in your path. And the world, they're going to throw up brick walls for you, but those brick walls become melted cheese. Because you're the phoenix with fire breathing out your mouth, with flames for wings, just going through brick walls like melted cheese. That's you, okay? And so you got to see the fulfillment of who you're going to become, okay? And so that means no more baby bearing. No more looking at, well, she does it this way, and she's getting bigger results than me. Well, I don't know, I'm overwhelmsies, right? It's all that baby bear nonsense strips away when you have a vision of who you want to become that is so strong that you're unable to see or pay much attention to your obstacles. There's still going to be obstacles. I'm not saying, hey, once you got your vision, no more obstacles. It's easy and amazing and in 12 easy lessons. I'm not saying that. You're going to still get punched right in the face. You're going to have your sister-in-law kick you right where the sun don't shine. You're going to have your best friend in the world give you the middle finger behind your back, right? They're going to talk shit about you. That's going to happen. You're going to have these things happen. That's not an option for them not to happen, okay? They're going to happen. But a person with vision and a person who sees the fulfillment, they no longer witness reality around them. So here's how you can tell. If you can see the fulfillment of who you want to become, if you have a subcategory Y under your vision, right? So it goes vision. These are the Ys that I'll accomplish with this vision. When I become the person I want to become, here's some of the Ys. Here's Y number one, Y number two, Y number three. But they are very clearly defined underneath them. They're clear, they're under. They're not the main thing, so I get applause and I get a payoff of, hey, look how great I am. Hey, I'm going to provide some clean drinking water. Woo, woo, look at me, I'm amazing. No, no, here's who I'm becoming, which is not as commercially digestible. You know, if you say, I'm going to become the type of person that can lead an entire nation, people, they're like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. They may not understand. They may not get it. But the person that has the vision of who they want to become, and they'll have whys. I'm not saying not to have whys. They just need to be a subcategory. Okay? But you can see the fulfillment of these whys. You see yourself providing clean drinking water. You see yourself. So if one of your whys, which is a subcategory of your vision, if one of your whys is to retire your spouse, I should be able to ask you, well, where are y'all going to go to brunch on Tuesdays? And you say, oh, good question. We're actually going to be going. But see, when someone hits me with a why, Ray, man, my why is so huge, man. My why is so huge. I'm going to retire my spouse. I'll say, okay, cool. Where are y'all going to have breakfast on Tuesdays? They'll be like, they can't see. There will never be fulfillment where you can't see. If all you do is focus on your baby bear problems, you'll never fulfill it because you can't see it. You got to see you making an impact. You got to see you making a difference. You got to see what y'all will do, right? Y'all going to go in the backyard, throw the Frisbee. Y'all going to go, you know, on walks in the park. You're going to walk on the beach. What are y'all going to do? If you do accomplish that why that makes you cry, right? That gets you that nice payoff of how great you are, right? Even though you haven't accomplished it at all. I know I'm being tough on you, but I want to switch you. I want you to get away from why the booby bear cry, cry, cry. I want you to get to the vision of power, vision of juggernaut, vision of unstoppable, unmessable, bulletproof. Bullets just, psh, psh, psh. You got a good vision, bullets going to bounce right off you. I mean, I've had people talk crap behind my back. I've had people that don't know me talk crap behind my back. I've had all kinds of lies made up. We had someone working for us that we trusted that has held baby Sabrina, been at our house, stole $60,000 from us. You know what? Come at me, man. That's just a bullet just bounced off. No big deal. Some people would say, I can't trust people anymore. That's nothing, man. You kidding me? So when you have a vision, you are bulletproof, you're unmessable. And here's how you truly know if you have a vision. Are you consistent? See, my vision is a ruthless dictator. It grabs me by the spine. It picks me up off the mattress and it says, get your ass to work, boy. See, my vision is a dictator and he's ruthless. Oh, I got a little sniffle. So what? You got a sniffle. Get in front of that camera. My vision is a ruthless dictator. It's got a metal hand. It's got claws. It literally punctures my spine, lifts me into the air. I have to come on here and do a video for you guys. It's not an option. It isn't an option. Being busy, being sixies, tum-tums, right? None of that matters to my ruthless dictator. Doesn't care. Oh, you're sick from traveling so much? Step it up, boy. That's when you have a vision. When you know who do you want to grow up to be, who do you want to become, and you see the fulfillment that includes the fulfillment of all of your whys, retiring your spouse, providing clean drinking water, helping abused women, helping, you know, kids on the street. That's when you know you got a vision or not. So you either got it or you don't. You're either consistent or you don't have a vision. And so now don't take this as, oh, you know what? My why is now to create a vision. So for the next 4 years, I'm gonna work on my vision. And then at some point in the future, someday I'll have a vision and then I'll be consistent. Stop overthinking it, man. What would have meaning to you? What would mean something? What would make a difference while there's blood pumping through your veins? What would make a difference? How can you make an impact? I believe success is growth and contribution. Those are the two things that I think success is. And like Tony Robbins says, success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. Well, is make a lot of money. Is that a real compelling vision? I mean, I'll be honest, when I was dead broke, I needed money. That's what I thought about. Not gonna lie. I got serious in network marketing to make money. No questions. I'm $1 million in debt. I feel emasculated. My girlfriend's paying my utility bills, right? So I didn't feel great. I needed to make money. But once we make some money, once we get out of the debt, once we get out of the pain, once we get out of the frustration, okay, what do we want to do while we're on this planet? We only got so much time. And so I hope this helps. Let's, I gotta jump on a call here in 4 minutes, but let's give away something cool. Was this helpful? How many of your teammates should hear this? Can you even comprehend if your teammates, if 20% of them had a ruthless dictator vision that grabbed them by the spine and made them prospect, made them do marketing, made them do videos, imagine what that world would look like for you. It would be crazy. It would be absolutely crazy. And so tell me what's, just to make it easy on y'all, although I want you, I'm going to say, what's one thing? Actually, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to help you out here because I want to break your chain to being addicted to telling your why that makes people cry, right? I want to break your chain of being addicted to the payoff. So I'm not going to give you a payoff, okay? I want you to drop me one word that describes who you want to be.